Again, as I shared earlier, today is a day of remembering. And even for those of folks who seldom go to church, there's something about Good Friday. Now, my dad was not a regular church attender. No doubt, when he was in town, he would go to the church I was working at, but just to go to church on a Sunday wasn't a part of his routine. And yet on Good Friday, something was different. Maybe it was his background and the church he did grow up in. But after we had Mackenzie, he'd call up every Good Friday at noon and ask, "Where was Mackenzie?" And we were a little perplexed by the question. "Well, she's here." "Well, she's not outside, is she?" "Oh, I didn't even know where she was. She's around here somewhere." And he would just drill my wife about, "Why isn't she inside sitting and doing nothing?" "Well, it's a day off school, you know." "Well, no, it's Good Friday. She can't do anything between 12 and 3. I mean, that was about as religious as he got. But that was, you know, I talked to my sister today. You know, I just feel like I should call them, maybe because I'm a pastor and it's Good Friday. And, you know, what do you say? Happy Good Friday, you know. But they just, there's that, you know, we all have those family dynamics and there's those expectations. And so I just make the phone call and she's like, "Yeah, we got the same phone call when my nephew was growing up. You can't do anything between 12 and 3, because traditionally, that is the time that Jesus was on the cross and dying, and when everything went dark." And so even for your coworkers or your friends or some of your family, maybe some of you here, you know, coming to this place often is just, maybe it's just not normal. Even thinking about spiritual things is not normal. But somehow, Good Friday around the world takes on a day of remembering. And again, that's what we're doing today. And throughout our theme in Lent, we've talked about remembering. We've talked about connecting with God somehow. We talked about the different pathways and how God has wonderfully created each of us to connect with Him in some certain ways. And so I trust that you have been affirmed. And maybe even, well, I know you have, because I've been hearing the stories, even stretched. Maybe even learned something that, oh, that's why. Oh, well, maybe that person isn't so weird. That's how God made them. And that is a good thing. And it's a good thing for our community as we dived into connecting with God. And so again, on Good Friday, I think traditionally, many of us want to connect with God. And the idea of torn, exploring new pathways, is more than just a pretty nice set design. There's really some meaning about torn and how that impacts our lives today. It impacts us in many ways as we think about the death of Jesus and really what that accomplished. Torn is first talked about in the Old Testament in Exodus, and it's talked about in the sense of a temple, and there's even some pretty specific dimensions about this curtain. This curtain was, scholars are saying, between 40 and 60 feet high. And so our worship center is about 40 feet high, 42 feet high to the tallest part of this. So when you hear about the curtain being torn, that curtain was 40 feet high and was also 15 feet wide. And so I paced this off today. I teased somebody. I wasn't doing a sobriety test. Yeah, Bruce got that one. So anyway, 15 feet from this table to this table. So the curtain, 40 to 60 feet high, depending on, there were some add-ons in there, 15 feet wide. And it was 4 inches thick. I mean, they said horses couldn't even pull it apart. That's how thick it was. And now, many of you know we have a Tuesday crew of people, mostly men, but we're really open to women to help, that help do projects around here. And as I was preparing for this, I'm thinking, boy, are our Tuesday guys happy they didn't have to hang up that curtain. I mean, I don't have the specifics on the weight of it, but that wasn't just a little sheer curtain for ambience in the temple. 40 to 60 feet high, 15 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. So that is the curtain that was ripped from top to bottom at the last breath of Jesus. But I think there's really more significance about that, because further in Exodus chapter 26, we read, "And the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place from the most holy." So the curtain, the veil, was a part of the temple where the priest went. And once a year, they would go behind that curtain to be in God's presence. Once a year, that's the only time they went behind the curtain. It really was separating the holy from the unholy. And everybody respected that. And what is good is that when Jesus died, the curtain split. The curtain ripped. And there was no longer separation. There was no longer a go-between person between the people and the presence of God. And that is our joy today. But it changed everything. Some of us have that tradition where, this really isn't good job security for me, but you don't need the priest anymore. Some of us have the tradition where everything goes through the pastor, the priest. At my first church, when I would serve communion, I was told to place the wafer on their tongue and then let them drink from the cup. Now, that was not in my tradition, and so that happened once, and then I changed tradition for that church because I felt I wasn't the dispenser of God's grace to them, and that's really what I felt like. But with the curtain tearing, there no longer needed to be a priest to go between the people and God. There was no longer something that was dividing, and so let's take a look at Ephesians 2:18. "For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Then in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." And then in 1 Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so really, folks, it was like a curtain rips and a restructuring of the establishment, so to speak. And for those who probably like tradition, that rocked their world a little bit. And for the more enthusiast, they're probably thinking, yay, I can go right to God myself. I no longer need a middle man. And so again, we don't need a priest. You don't need a priest. You don't need me. You don't need a saint. You don't need a church building. But you need the church as a body of believers. You don't need a Sunday school teacher. You don't need anybody as long as you have Jesus. And so that was the good news when the curtain was ripped. We also call that in our church makeup, we call our church theology. We would call that the priesthood of all believers. Folks, because now you become the priest. There's no longer that middle person. You can directly be in God's presence. That's why we are often trying to give away ministry, because we know God has wired you and gifted you to use your gifts for the kingdom, for the church, for the world in which we live. And yet we embrace the reality that you no longer need a priest, but that we just need to empower and unleash you to make a difference. The curtain being torn also tells us that God's presence takes on a new place. That's no longer in a room, so to speak, but take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Good news again. And that's all because of the sacrifice of Jesus, of removing the priest, removing the barrier. The curtain is gone. So we have access to the King of creation. And as God was tearing away that curtain, again, the system changed. No longer there was a need for sacrifices in the temple. Because the temple was used yearly for some sacrifices, sometimes daily for some sacrifices to cleanse and to make people right with God. And that's what the priests were for, to help make sure all that happened the right way. But Jesus was the sacrifice. So there's no more blood sacrifice. So that's why, despite seeing the fire pits out there, we're not sacrificing anything today. There's no need to bring a sacrifice to the church because Jesus paid it all for us. So Good Friday, again, reminds us of the reality of the sacrifice that, again, Jesus didn't make for just you and me. And I think that's important for us to remember as we interact with our family and our friends. But he made that for everybody, for the entire world. And his pain, his suffering, and the giving of his blood is what changed the system, so to speak. Everything did change. We know I'm not a doctor, even though I'm in hospitals a lot visiting. We know that blood gives life. We know we need blood to sustain life. When my wife's illness swung in the wrong direction, her hemoglobin, if I got this right, was a 4. And it needed to be 11 to 12 or 13, whatever. I mean, it was low. She needed blood to survive. And I forgot how many units they pumped into her. And we know that. But it's interesting, you know, that for a sacrifice, there's a blood. And we know that blood gives us life. And yet for most of us, it's the cringe factor. You know, even the littlest sight of blood, and some of you just are like, no, I don't need that. But the thing that gives us the cringe is also the thing that gives us life, especially because it's from Jesus. And we also know that the blood helps keep us clean. It's a part of the detoxing, the cleaning of our system that blood does. And so as we think of our life and the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood that he shed for us in his sacrifice, we know it's just not the fact that his blood gives us life, life eternal, but we need to rely on that blood to be cleansed, to make our life new. Now, the big word would be sanctification, but we won't go down that road today. But it's a daily process. And for any of you who are dealing with health issues, you know it's a daily process to keep your system clean, to sort of flush it out, get rid of the impurities. And that's what Jesus has done for us, not just to live on this earth, but to be with him for all of eternity. So Jesus dies, his last breath, and the curtain rips from top to bottom. And again, I tried to come up with illustrations for that. It's almost incomprehensible to me how a curtain, a piece of fabric, 4 inches thick, can rip at his last breath. So again, there was, some of the recounts will say there was an earthquake, so we know how that happens. There was his last breath, an earthquake, and the curtain is torn. And while we are sad, while the disciples are, their heads are spinning, trying to figure out what just happened, everything changes on Good Friday. Because somebody, the King of Kings, sacrificed his life. And today is an evening to remember that. Again, I know many of you are probably missing your Friday night shows because you're saying this is important. When I was first married, I remember my wife saying, "I think we should say we love each other every day." And I'm going, "Every day?" I loved her, but every day I have to say that? And she said yes. And I'm amazed she stayed with me with those kind of comments. But yeah, every day. Because you know why? Life happens, and we can sometimes forget that. Life happens, and we can sometimes forget those who are married, those you have close friends with, that you're really in this thing together. You're really on the same team. You're not against each other. And I think the same goes in our spiritual life. That we need to remember. We need to be intentional to remember. Because that sometimes we can get pretty ticked at God about some things. And we can play the blame game. And we can be in attitudes of it's all about me, or I'm feeling sorry for myself, or things just aren't good. And I think it's critical that we remember. I think it's even more critical that we remember the sacrifice. Because basically, most of us have it pretty good, at least in our culture. Things are, even though they may be tight, some things in financially, and you know, we go through some rough roads here and there and some discouraging times, most of us have it pretty good. And so we really forget the pain and the sacrifice that we remember tonight that Jesus did for us. So tonight is just a good night to pause and to remember. Again, as we pause and remember, the key, folks, is to remember that you no longer need a middleman. Now, as we were trying to figure out our projector issue here, I think 3 or 4 people came up to me and said, "Here, I know somebody. Contact this person because you'll cut out the middleman. This guy will make you a great deal. Use him and you can cut out the middleman." And the good news is with our relationship with Jesus and being in the presence of God, we no longer need a human to be there, but we do need Jesus to be there. And so as a body of Christ, believers, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're empowered as priests, we're empowered as God's people to go out and to change the world. And so this this evening, I need to ask myself, am I listening? Have I slowed up my pace enough in life to really be intentional to remember what happened at the cross? And what's interesting, as I obviously was thinking about this all week because I had to teach, Christ just didn't suffer today. But he was really dying all week long as he was being whipped and humiliated and whipped again. It wasn't just he had a bad Friday morning and they hung him on a cross. But if you read the stories, you realize it was a slow, painful death all week long. And so today, I want to make sure I am listening. And my question is, are you listening? I want to be mindful of the sacrifice that the God of creation, who left all of glory, this is what we believe, to come and walk among us. Are we remembering that? I think in the big picture, some of us will probably say, yeah, you know what? I remember that, Juno. Yeah, I know God loves me. But I still think there's a part of us that wants to do more. I think there's a part of us that sometimes thinks it's too easy. It just can't be the fact that this guy died, rose from the dead, and if all I have to do is open my heart to him, life changes. I read a story about a cake mix company, you know, like Betty Crocker or whoever, Duncan Hines. I'm not sure who makes cakes. Sorry. They came up with a real easy cake mix. All you do is open it up, pour it out, throw in some water, and there's your cake. But it didn't sell. And so they researched it, and they found the people thought it was too easy. There had to be something wrong. And so they went back to the laboratories and figured out a way to change probably the chemicals that are in that cake mix to where you had to add an egg. So add the water, the egg, throw in the cake stuff, and then you have your cake. Well, cake sales skyrocketed because people could get into that. The other way just didn't seem right. It was too easy. And I think, unfortunately, there are some folks who think it's too easy just to open up my heart to Jesus. I've got to do more. There's got to be more. And that's why, even though we read in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. It's nothing I can do. It's not my giving, even though we need people to give. It's not signing up for VBS, even though we need people to sign up for VBS. It's not being on our Tuesday morning team that's going to get you to heaven sooner. Well, I guess, Dwight, if you fall off the ladder, you may get to heaven sooner. It's not going to get you into heaven. Well, it may get you into heaven, but anyway, you know what I mean. It's not what we do. It is not how much I sacrifice, give, help people, help out, bring food for the food distribution, even though we need it. Those aren't the things that are going to make me right with God. Jesus has done it. While his sacrifice wasn't easy, opening our heart to him is. And I think as a culture, we struggle with that. We think there has to be more. So I want to take a look at, before we close here, at Luke 23. This is the story on the cross. You know, I think we all know the story. Jesus in the middle, two people on either side. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." I probably share this at 80% of the funerals where I have the privilege to share at. Because it's at that point of death, people are like, "Did Grandpa do enough? Did Aunt Susie, did she jump through the right hoops to be with? Where's Aunt Susie today?" And so this is what I share. Because what is the good news is that Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you don't ride the right camel, so you're not going to be with me in paradise." He didn't say you didn't throw the net on the off the boat on the right side of the boat. Like I said, you're not going to be with me. He didn't say you didn't come into the synagogue enough, or you didn't give enough, or you didn't even pray enough. He didn't say those things. He says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Now, I don't know what happened to the other guy who was arguing. You know, I'm thinking, here they are on the cross having this conversation. That must have been extremely interesting to watch. And yet with almost one of his last breaths, and you know this wasn't just like, "Yeah, today you'll be with me in paradise." He has been hanging there, beat, you know, just about to die. And yet he still focuses, and he's able to see in the guy's heart. The guy recognizes who Jesus is, and he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And that's what Good Friday is about. And that is the irony of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, literally being crucified, that today we can be with him in paradise if we've opened our heart to him. But it's easy to forget. It's easy to go along that, hey, you know, things are good. I'm paying my bills. It's almost easy to forget the sacrifices of Jesus. So today we're going to hone in on those a little bit. So what I'd like you to do is, I think you were all handed a little piece of paper. And don't worry, we're not going to put what you write on the screen or anything. But what I want to do is have you think. Think through some of the things that may be like that curtain, that may be blocking you, that may be a partition between you and the presence of God. I don't know what that could be. I mean, that could be, maybe it's a low self-esteem. Maybe it's anger or bitterness about something. Maybe you need to let it go. Maybe you need to really forgive. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe there's some type of an addiction and that nobody in this room knows about it. Maybe it's just the desire of your heart to find Mr. or Mrs. Right that somehow keeps stumbling, becomes a stumbling point between you and your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's greed. I'm not sure. What I would like to do is to have you write those things down on that slip of paper. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to come outside here, and we're going to throw those in one of the fire pits, symbolizing that Jesus didn't die in vain. He died for you and he died for me. He died for whatever I'm putting on that slip of paper. And maybe it's time that I recommit that issue, that concern, that curtain, what's keeping me from God's presence. Maybe it's time again to say, okay, Lord, here I go again. I need your blood to cleanse me of whatever that is. Because I think at times we just sort of skate by. Now, if for some of you that is literally a long walk that you can't make it, then fold up your slip and hand it to somebody else who's going out the door, and they'll be happy to throw that in the fire for you. As you come back in, I'd like to invite you. We'll have two stations here for communion. You can go to either station. Obviously, as a way to remember what Jesus has done for us. To remember that he left glory, that he was crucified, and that he died, and that he was buried. And that we need to remember that because we can so often forget it. And so in our time of remembering tonight and being intentional, let's again throw our concerns into the flames. Throw our sins into the flames. Throw our areas that are blocking us from experiencing God's presence. And I know when I look at my life from that perspective, I have a whole lot more to write on that list. Because if I just say, write down your sins, I'm thinking, well, that's not a sin. Well, that attitude isn't that sin. It's her fault. She's the one that ticked me off. You know, I mean, I can justify a lot of my sin. So as I reframe it, it's not that I'm afraid of the word sin, but I just realized I can work my way around it a little too easy. And maybe it's just me. So when I reframe it from what is keeping me from God's presence, and man, that you may need another sheet of paper, because I think a lot of things keep us from God's presence. So we're going to show a video for the first for our first time in this, and so you can watch the video a little bit, think through maybe what is keeping you from God's presence, write it down, and as the video comes to a conclusion, we're going to have a few more worship songs. As God leads you, feel free to come out, put that slip in the fire, come back in, share in communion together. We'll continue to worship, and then I'll dismiss everybody together.